Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and I'm joined again in the studio by pastor and educator Gary Cox. And Gary, the last set of broadcasts, we started talking about education and parents' role in educating their children. And we touched a little bit on home education. And I think one of the last broadcasts we had, we specifically talked a little bit about our ministry at Walkersville Christian Family School, a little bit of overview of that program. But I think this next set of broadcasts, we really kind of wanted to take a little bit of an inward turn and come more on a little more personal level and really talk about the idea of homeschooling for those who really are considering it and actually really more asking the question, why not homeschool and why not consider it yourself? If you're a listener out there, maybe you've heard a lot about homeschooling over the years. Maybe you don't know much about it. Maybe you've wondered, why on earth would I do that? Maybe you have a lot of questions, and we're hoping to cover some of those questions, a little bit of that territory in the next couple of broadcasts. So, simply put, Gary, why homeschool? Why homeschool at all?
Well, that's a really good question. Maybe just a brief history lesson would help. If we remember the origin of formal education, it dates back to the Middle Ages, to be sure. But long before that, the Greeks and the Romans and the Jews, they all had mechanisms for training children. But when we get our foundation for the mandate for education, I like to refer to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and the following verses, because it's a really, really critical snapshot of God's outlook on the parental role, the impact on education of the parental role, and the impact on society by that educational process. So if I might be so blatant and bold, let me just sort of begin the thought, we're looking at a parent and asking them, have you thought of homeschooling? And they got this blank look on their face, and they say, no, I've never thought of it. And why would I do that? We have good schools. I could never keep up with what's going on in the schools and what have you. And so we want to just pause and say, well, let's look to the long end. What's the long end? And when we think about the simple scripture that says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? So that's a pretty pithy point of reference in Scripture. That's Jesus Christ's take on, how do we live our values? And it's really easy for us to think of the temporal values, adequate housing, good pay, taking care of our needs, providing education, all these things that go into living here on the earth.
Kind of the American dream, as it's
right,
often
called. Right, yeah, living the American dream. And we have this snapshot of men and women, hustling for that. And then Jesus simply said, what if you could get it all? What if you could gain the whole world? But if you came to that last chapter and the question was, you lost your soul, what can you give in exchange for that? And so Christ really sets the standard very high. We ought to be training our children for eternity. heaven ought to be the goal of an educational process, not just a good job.
And that's kind of counterintuitive, really, for
it is.
For what most parents think. I mean, as far as when you think of successful parenting, it seems like most people think, well, as long as they have a good education and a good job and, you know, have a maybe a good family, then we did it right. You know, they succeeded. But
well, it is counterintuitive to the natural man. That's why Jesus said when he began preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, repent simply means change the way you think and the things you do in light of the reality that we're going to be living for eternity, not just for this temporal time frame.
Because ultimately, you could have all those things and still be lost.
That's right. I mean, just the simple concept, if you're sowing to the flesh, then the flesh is going to reap destruction. Why? Because the flesh is going to die. It's over. And so here I am putting all my investment in that which is passing away, and I didn't pass anything on, as it were, into that eternal time frame. So let's cut back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think of this probably for my wife and I. This is one of the foundational reasons why we chose to homeschool. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the passage. This is from the King James. Hope you can bear with that. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So what we have is this foundational thing. And then notice in the context, he continues on in verse 10, and it shall be, when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which you swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give you great and good cities, which you didn't build, houses full of things which you filled not, wells digged you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear by his name. So it's, you know, you take that snapshot and what you have a nation on the verge of entering into their history. And you could say, do the book of Deuteronomy, but this encapsulates it the best in terms of summary. They're being given these instructions for how to maintain a viable society. And so we're looking at this. This is a political outcome. How is this nation going to fare in the realm of nations? And the foundation of this national entity is that God himself is the one who provided. And if we remember the little construct that we try to continually refer back to, this is called Family by Design, the radio broadcast. And we're trying to focus in on the fact that God himself had eternally purposeful reasons and structural methods by which he put the family together. And we try to highlight four areas when we can in each broadcast, that he's the creator. He's the one that made it. And he's also the one that makes nations. He's the one that makes history. So he's our creator. He's also our redeemer. There's the issue of sin that's needs to be dealt with. And so that's always the fundamental part of that work which God is doing and our relationship to him. And then, of course, he's the revealer and the sustainer. Revealer, profoundly important, because that which we cannot know without God himself directly bringing that revelation to us and that understanding by the Holy Spirit to that revelation, we'd just be having our best guess. You know, that's what the world does. Without that knowledge of God, we're temporal people. How do we put together what we see based on how we understand what we see, and we limit it to that? And of course, the last one is sustainer, and that reality is all four of those elements: creator, redeemer, revealer, sustainer. All those four elements, they're critical about human personal relationship with God, and it's the critical element that the home brings to bear. The home is so critical in terms of its education and training for children, because it gives them the fullness of that perspective and balance. And he talks about the danger of a good education. He says, you know, when you get into this promised land and you're rolling in the dough, as it were, and systems of society are working wonderfully, there's a chance that you're going to forget the Lord your God. And you're going to lose that connection to the Creator and the Redeemer and the Revealer and the Sustainer. You're going to lose that connection, and you're going to lose your place in history. And the book of Deuteronomy closes with severe warnings, curses and blessings, if you don't follow through in maintaining that relationship in society. So when you look at the question, why should I homeschool? The answer is pretty simple. Let's answer it on the big profile, okay? The long-term objective is heaven, training my kids for eternity. And so the short-term objectives need to be always reflecting the long-term objectives. And if something can count for heaven or eternity above something temporal, you choose something that's for eternity, and you let go. Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount, when he simply said, there's a standard here of process. The Gentiles, they worry about their physical heritage, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, the kind of houses and lands they're going to possess. But we're not to be like that. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in that context of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these other things will be added. So when we talk about homeschooling, we are talking about, we're not saying no education, as it were, in terms of the formal education, not at all. We're saying, let's get the first things first. Let's get the eternal element in place, because that equips someone, and those other things can be added. Those other things can be easily added. And I know in our anecdotes that we shared a little bit the last broadcast series, you know, I gave a few illustrations, because if the promise is there, then when somebody depends on that promise, they should be able to reflect back and say, yes, God kept his promise. And I first took care of issues relating to seeking the kingdom of God, and God provided for my family that which was needed. Will we all get into Harvard? No. Are we supposed to all get into Harvard? No. Of course, it might be a question of, should anybody go to Harvard?
Well, we could talk about Harvard maybe another time, just right, in terms of actually a good example of a school that began with a proper understanding of what education was about in terms of investing in people's lives for eternity.
That's right, yeah.
One thing, as I'm listening to you, Gary, I'm thinking about some people who, obviously, you know, a lot of people choose to send their kids to Christian school, private school, and some people might be saying, okay, I get this. I understand that education, you know, the whole point of education is having eternity in view. You know, can't I do that by sending my kids to, you know, a Christian school where there's a focus on, you know, eternal things beyond, you know, the temporary? And I think I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on this, because you have had the experience of being actually in the Christian school setting as an educator, and you've kind of seen that dynamic, and you've also obviously seen it in your own family. So can you maybe elaborate a little bit? What's the distinguishing factor there between the difference between the home setting of education and a more institutionalized setting, even from a Christian perspective?
Well, that's a good question, and I'll try to answer it. A lot of little elements there. Probably I'll start by an anecdotal story. How many times have I heard this when I'm talking to a dad about education choices, and the dad looks at me in all earnestness and sincerity, and he says, well, I went to the public school and I turned out pretty good. and we're laughing, but that's an earnest, honest answer.
Sure, yep.
Because experientially, we have that which we came from, and we review back and understand those things, and we say, well, we turned out all right.
Right, we say that about a lot of things. Well, if it worked for me, it will work for, right, for you, or work for my kids.
And so, you know, I think the first thing I want to say to that is, well, I do not disavow whatsoever. In fact, if we throw back to the education broadcast we had the last series, it is that place where parents together, acting as the agent of the Heavenly Father, they are the ones with the responsibility not to abrogate that responsibility and let somebody else make the choices for them, but to deliberately, prayerfully determine, okay, what is it going to be? And if there's a need to delegate, they delegate from a positive perspective. This is what I want for my child as we've prayed. This is how we're going to do it. And I've asked the Lord and he's provided this. And so I don't think that the discussion, it's a hard discussion because sometimes people take it personally. Like, well, what's wrong with the public school? I went there.
Right.
And you're, you know, it's almost the accusation is, well, why do you have to demonize the other educational systems? And frankly, that's not what the discussion's about. But often people who haven't taken the time to prayerfully consider, Lord, what would you have me do? And why would you have me do that? In that process of just simply abrogating and not considering anything, it's easy to see someone who's properly and prayerfully making decisions and choices, look at them and say, well, why are you demonizing my choice? My choice is just as good as yours.
Right. And for those listening, I would really encourage you to jump back to a couple of our previous broadcasts because we did discuss that as far as the foundational elements.
And by jump back, I guess you're meaning they can go online and
the WTHU website. You can catch any of our broadcasts on WTHU.org in their audio vault under Family by Design.
Great.
And if you're just joining us, we're discussing really kind of why you would want to homeschool, why you would make that choice to homeschool, kind of what makes homeschooling unique and different as a mechanism for Christians to educate their children. And I guess I also would add, you know, a lot of people homeschool for a lot of different reasons. And if you ask any homeschooling parent or even a homeschool graduate, well, why were you homeschooled? You know, some might say, oh, well, mom and dad wanted me to have a better education than I would have gotten at XYZ. Or, you know, I was a gifted child or, you know, or I maybe I had special needs or, you know, so there's a variety. And I guess we're not saying those are bad reasons, but we're really looking again, like Gary, you just said, from the point of God, the Creator's design, mm-hmm. and he's provided the family. So
if you allow me to just jump in right at that spot, right. Then God, the Creator's design. So that's really where the meditation comes from. Okay, let's start thinking about it. Who's God? The Creator. And he's the Redeemer and the Sustainer and the Revealer. And this life is about you and me learning to trust him. Learning to get that revelation that he's revealed by his word through the Holy Spirit and recognize, you know what? The Gentiles, the rest of the world, don't think this way, but you know, something is more important in terms of heaven, and I'm going to make those choices. I'm going to think about those things that really make an impact. And so when you come down to it, I know we said this in passing in one of those former broadcasts, but we're comparing, what we said in the past was comparing design. Well, who designed the education system? Man. Who designed the home? God. So if I have a loved child, which I do, and I'm going to ask myself the question in that time frame whereby they're called to be under my care and authority, which kind of system would I most likely want to have my child be a part of? A system or a place where God designed it himself, or an environment that is created by man to meet some of those obligations and opportunities that the home is given, and maybe meet them in a little more organized or a little more facilitatory fashion?
I just have a picture coming to my mind, Gary, while I've been thinking about it. It's often, you know, when you go to a zoo or these other places, we often hear people talk about, you know, having a creature in his natural habitat.
Right.
You know, we have the
that's right.
Good. We have animals in there. Obviously, at the zoo, they're not in their natural habitat. But I think we're often told that zoos are always remodeling or revamping in order to make the exhibits and the cages and whatever as close to what the animal would normally be experiencing as part of, in a sense, God's original design, where the animals were supposed to live.
So I'm just
thinking, is that really a key factor? Is that, in a sense, God's put children in the family environment for a purpose, and
right.
it's not necessarily that, you know, animals in a zoo is a bad thing at all. It's
right.
You know, it's all right, but you know, obviously they thrive best when they're in an environment that was where they were originally intended to be.
So, but let's do a little toe-to-toe comparison, okay? So in terms of environment, the educational environment is not a safe environment. It's not a natural environment. And so you have a lot of artificial construction in that environment.
When you, meaning the structure of the more of an institutionalized...
The institutional setting.
Gotcha.
You go to this building and you carve out any number of hours of the day, you know, between 7 and 3 or 4 in that institution. And you're grouping all manner of children together. I mean, just one little illustration. The educational environment is medically unhealthy in terms of passing germs around. And so in order in the state of Maryland for you to go to school, you have to be immunized just for protection, protect you and protect others from diseases that you could are more easily communicable. So that's just a simple illustration. But when you look at what they can do, let's grant schools what they can do potentially better than the average home per se, but the sharpness of a specific academic credential and academic potential might very well be true in a school setting. But when you put that and when you pit that against the broader reality of all the other elements, I mean, I know we're going to talk about next broadcast, what about socialization, but when you find that all of a sudden your child is facing an enormous amount of temptation and circumstance that is unnatural, all of a sudden that begins to change the dynamic. So let me give an illustration. When you are planting a garden, there's what we call hardy plants and tender plants. And every gardener knows that you put the tender plants out after the risk of frost and damage occurs. And so I think it's important for us to recognize.
And I'm assuming a tender plant would be a pretty young...
A plant that would be damaged by okay. frost. So
just hasn't reached that
could,
point of development.
You could put something yeah. out that are more a hardy plant, you know, a broccoli plant, a cauliflower, I call them cold flowers, but they can handle that cold weather. If they got a frost, they're not going to die. But that those tender plants, you know, they would be burned by that frost in one, especially as a young plant. And so similarly, I mean, it's kind of like making a dinner. Which is the better place to make a dinner? You can make a dinner and you can survive off of that dinner. If you make it over an open pit with 100-mile-an-hour wind stirring up a dust storm, I'm sure you can craft out a way to make dinner and have a meaningful dinner and not die. You know, and you can say, yeah, well, we did that and we're okay. We're here. We are. But reality is you create an environment that's a little more protective to cook that meal and you're going to have a lot less dirt floating around in your spaghetti.
So really, it comes down to an idea of thriving. I mean, being able to take that vision that we talked about at the beginning of this program of eternally investing in your children in an environment where they're going to catch that. I mean,
right.
and not just survive, but thrive. But actually really thrive.
Right. Yeah. I like the word thrive because that really the best reason to homeschool is to recognize, wow. The most intelligent being in all of the universe, God himself devised home, and he subjected his own son to the family for 30 years in that process of thriving. And so let me treasure that. Let me value that. You know, our motto for our school is treasuring God's design for the family. We want to make sure that that's first, front, and center. And then we add to that those other elements as is necessary and appropriate and as we pray and the Lord provides. So I think that the challenge is, can you catch a vision for the value of your home? And are you willing to, by faith, trust the Lord and say, you know what? I'm going to carve out the maximum amount of time possible for my children to be in my home, in a productive home that's thriving. I'm going to do that in such a fashion so that when my child is leaving home, they have all that strong foundation under them. And they're capable. And again, what I said before, I'll say again, the technical information required and needed in certain areas of academics, that is added on at any appropriate time, opportunistically speaking. However, a mature child, a thriving child, is going to be able to adapt and advance and make the most of that far more importantly. I mean, excuse me, far more speedily than a child that's not thriving and doesn't have that the security of that home environment. Little anecdote, just curious. Check with Frederick Community College nursing class and discover that the vast majority of nursing students are moms and older students who have weathered life a little more and they're able to handle that academic load. The kids coming right out of high school can't cut the grade. There's a lot of competition, like almost 200 applicants for 50 seats. And the immaturity factor robs the student of the ability to sit there and compete.
Well, with that, we come to a close. We're just getting warmed up here, really. And again, and for those of you who've been following our broadcast for a while, you're just joining us. Homeschooling is very near and dear to our hearts as a ministry. In the broader context, though, of Family by Design, we are interested in encouraging all families out there. And if you're considering homeschooling, I would encourage you to visit our website, which is www.wcfs.edu. You can find more information there, not only about homeschooling, but also about this broadcast. You can certainly email us at radio@wcfs.edu with your questions or comments. Also, be sure to mark your calendars. We are having our annual Family Leadership Conference that Walkersville Christian Family School sponsors every year up in Roxbury, Pennsylvania. That's coming up August 14th through 17th, just a couple months away. Well, we're going to delve more into this topic of homeschooling, and next week we're going to talk about probably one of the most sometimes controversial and most discussed issues about homeschooling. What about socialization? Until next week, I'm Joel Fisher, thanking you on behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and hoping you'll join us again next Sunday afternoon as we treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. You can give your children houses, and you can give them land. And the riches of your efforts and all your best laid plans. But of all that they inherit, of all that you could will, please include the unseen treasure of a life that God has filled. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.